Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Do something that I should probably not do, but here goes. I'm going to do it anyway, which is I'm going to talk about an issue that I haven't spent a lot of time on because even though it has received a lot of national news and attention, you know, some things just don't captivate me. You know, the story of this white track runner who got stabbed by the black track runner at the track meet and died, and then they just recently convicted the black kid of stabbing him, you know, and sentenced him to a pretty long term. I think it's 30 years, if I remember correctly. Carmelo Anthony. Unfortunately, the same name as the basketball player, but not obviously the same person at all. And what I have found fascinating about this is how for an awful lot of, I guess, for an awful lot of black people, this is like the OJ trial all over again, and it's split on racial lines. I don't say all, but the people that I have seen online or, you know, like on TV fighting about this, yelling at each other in the face is, you know, upset black people that, you know, injustice has been done through a racial lens. This is one example.
What was it like?
What was it like?
When the verdict was read.
I feel like it was designed to protect white people, the system, and it was not designed to protect black people. It's self-defense.
It's self-defense when you bring a knife to a track meet and when a guy tells you to leave the tent that you're not supposed to be under, that you stab him after refusing to do it. Like, the whole thing is bizarre. The basic facts of the case are very straightforward, and, you know, it looked like a murder to me, you know, based on everything that I have read, which, again, is not a lot, so I don't pretend to be an expert. What I did think was interesting is to hear some of the commentary. This is another black commentator online, Naisha Lorraine, talking about this.
Hey, so I have seen a lot of broken hearts and outrage over Carmelo Anthony's guilty verdict and 35-year sentence today. I have seen moms, pastors, politicians, and protesters in full outrage. I have seen signs. I have seen tears. I have seen comparisons to other cases, and I know there is a lot of uncertainty out there. So many are asking, what can we even do in Black America? And I'm here to help. Don't kill people. Don't bring knives to track meets. Stop raising little boys to glamorize violence. Stop celebrating absentee fatherhood and then wondering why these boys have no idea how to be men. Stop minimizing education and decorum while glorifying rap culture, sex, drugs, and violence. Stop pretending that some generational trauma response explains away the fact that we kill each other in numbers that should horrify every single one of us. Stop outsourcing blame and take personal responsibility. Stop raising boys to be exactly what they ended up becoming and then acting shocked when the verdict reflects it. And before you come to my comments talking about this country was never meant for us or there's no such thing as self-defense when you are black, find me a case with the same circumstances that ended differently. I'll wait. No, I do not care if this is harsh. Harsh is a 17-year-old who went to a track meet and never came home. That's harsh. This is just the truth. And until we start telling the truth and stop lying to each other, this will keep happening.
5 out of 5, no notes. You know, so it's nice to hear somebody say, one note. There is a somewhat similar case that has been raised by defenders of Carmelo Anthony online, but it's not that similar. One thing about this trial is that it was an all-white jury. I don't think that should mean it, but I know that's what they pointed to. Also, in this other case involving a white kid who stabbed somebody and got a 10-year sentence when the race issues were reversed, but they had a much different prior relationship. They had fought each other before and threatened each other before, and it was a very different, disanalogous set of circumstances. But, yeah, sometimes you just kind of let somebody explain a thing and, you know, let that stand as it is. Hey, if you have a company and you have employees, you have to deal with benefits, you know, you have to manage payroll, you have to manage HR, you have to figure out what kind of health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability has to be for your folks. And you want to make sure that, you know, it doesn't cost you or them an arm and a leg, obviously, and you want to make sure that it's good, reliable stuff. Well, Okay, that's a pain to figure out if you're a business owner. Or you can call Torgerson Consulting and let them help you with this. For, you know, 25 years, they're in their 25th year right now. They have been helping local businesses just like yours solve these issues. For us, we've been using them for 5 years here at Cat Country and News Radio, and they've been great. Now, they're not miracle workers. The marketplace is what it is. But out of the available things that are out there, they go find the best stuff every year. They come to us with new plans, new options, and, you know, ways to save money and choices, which we did not have before. And customer service, it's fantastic, which we definitely did not have at that same level before. I just remember how it used to be with our old, you know, agency. And I was like, got to deal with them again. With Torgerson Consulting, it's like call, easy, done, solved, you know, got a question. Oh, that's a hard question. Let me get back to you. You know, like that's, it's just, it's fantastic. Anyway, so if you're irritated or fed up or looking for a better way to do it or curious if there might be a better way to do it, give them a call. Have them come in and look at what you're doing. No obligation. If they find something, you can change. If they don't find anything, they'll be like, good, you're as good as we can do. 433-9996 for Torgerson Consulting or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Rolling accident-free, even delay-free. Not seeing anything to slow you down this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Coming up next in the Transgressive Memorial Service, find out why the Southern Baptist Convention gets canceled, the PCUSA gets uplifted, and why Elmo is the concern of Brother Andrew.
Hey, Dave Ramsey here. You've heard me talk about one car dealership in Pensacola, Frontier Motors at 230 Beverly Parkway. Folks, new cars lose 11% of their value the second you drive them off the lot. So for years, Frontier Motors has been saving Pensacola residents thousands of dollars by getting them into the best previously owned vehicles. And thousands of people have enjoyed Frontier Motors' no hassle, no pressure experience. Just the best slightly used vehicles in town at a fair price. But don't take my word for it. Look around, and you'll start noticing all the Frontier Motors decals and tags. They're everywhere. So if you're in the market for a vehicle, do yourself a favor and see the friendly folks and the huge inventory at Frontier Motors. You can't miss them. Just look for the big buffalo on the lot. That's Frontier Motors at 230 Beverly Parkway. And don't forget to tell them Dave Ramsey said hey.
Greater Pensacola's leaders are in the tallest buildings and smallest shops. And they come together here to drive growth and innovation, to bridge industries, to share fresh ideas, and to understand how they can play a part in Greater Pensacola's success. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
ADX Digital Lead, Brian Prowitz.
In digital marketing, sometimes it's easy to get carried away with clicks and data and algorithms, but at ADX Digital, we understand that none of that matters without customers. We provide reports with click-throughs and view-throughs, but what really matters to our team is seeing your business grow with more sales. And just like you, we're local too. We care about your business winning. That's ADX Digital.
No one does digital like ADX Digital Marketing. ADXDigitalMarketing.com.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Don't you hate it when you wake up and feel like you already missed something important? The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Weekdays, 5 to 9. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for the Southern Baptist Convention, who just this week reaffirmed their long-standing sexism and bigotry by declaring that churches with female pastors cannot continue in fellowship with the SBC. Of course, we note our continued opposition to the term fellowship, with its clearly sexist implication that only men are capable of harmonious socializing, which is why we call our post-worship service refreshment area Othership Hall. So yes, the SBC reaffirmed the toxic masculinity that has so plagued Christianity ever since the time of the famously misogynistic Apostle Paul, who actually stated twice in his New Testament letters that men should be pastors, and even went so far as to say women ought not to preach or assume authority over men and should just be silent in church, also twice. Worse, he based his conception of gender roles on the order of creation, Adam, then Eve, and their differentiated participation in the fall from grace and subsequent expulsion from the garden. Combine this with the fact that none of Jesus' disciples were women, and you can see why people foolish enough to take the Bible seriously wind up doing what Catholics, Eastern Orthodox, conservative Presbyterians and Lutherans, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, and even Orthodox Jews have always done, which is to reserve leadership roles in the church for men only. Well, dear Othryn, this must not be. If there is anything which we stand firmly for, it is the total equality of women with men in all ways and forms, even to the point of believing that gender is merely a person-made construct. Hence our core affirmation of the holy acronym string, People of the Rainbow, and the ongoing rejection of the traditional symbols for male and female, preferring instead to use only the sacred symbol of the almighty gender non-binary, a question mark. Even our baptistries are filled with only the most ambiguous of unisex gender fluids. So whether it is the perpetuation of gender binarism, the oppression of women by men in the traditional Judeo-Christian patriarchy, or the highly regressive affirmation of the Bible as a reliable resource instead of a purely fictitious invention by foolish and primitive male writers, this move by the SBC has decidedly earned them our most sincere and definitive cancellation. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Meanwhile, there is some cause for celebration. Even within the weird, twisted, and repressive world of Christian churches, despite the horrifyingly consistent move by the Baptists, this week simultaneously witnessed one of the most beautiful and inspiring actions on the opposite end of the Christianity spectrum by the super-progressive Presbyterian Church USA. Not to be confused with the Presbyterian Church of America, PCA, or the Evangelical Presbyterian Church, EPC, the PCUSA has long been much more closely aligned with our own values, moving to openly allow gay marriage or allow openly gay clergy in 2011 and affirm gay marriage in 2014. However, there was a moment of concern this week when the Sierra Blanca Presbytery submitted a proposal for this summer's General Assembly, which would require that pastors must display, quote, moral character and, quote, if engaged in any relationship of a sexual nature, be living in a monogamous one. In other words, this oddly conservative congregation intends to forbid PCUSA clergy from being in open or plural relationships. Although all 50 states still outlaw formal polygamy or technically bigamy, we sidestep the legal questions by referring to it vaguely as polyamory, or for precision, biamory, triamory, quadramory, or when necessary, sesquicentamory, if someone is in a serious sexual relationship with 150 other people. In any case, despite this very traditional effort to keep pastors from expressing their sexuality with more than one person at a time, the good news is that the leaders of the PCUSA were absolutely having none of it. Literally three different church advisory committees have now publicly criticized the proposed rule called Con 10, which would artificially limit PCUSA pastors to just one sexual partner at a time. The Advocacy Committee for Women and Gender Justice called it an attempt to, quote, regulate the private lives and relational structures of individuals in ways that risk harm rather than healing. They also said it could, quote, unintentionally reinforce systems of shame, silence, and spiritual coercion. Gaia forbid. The Advocacy Committee on LGBTQIA+ Equity said the proposal reinforces, quote, a narrow culturally specific understanding of family that privileges, quote, a dominant cultural framework over the lived realities of communities of color and global Christians. They noted that polyamorous relationships report levels of happiness comparable to those of monogamous couples. And as we all know, if a behavior makes you happy, it definitely can't be sinful. Yet a third church entity, the Advisory Committee on Social Wellness Policy, criticized the measure and counseled the denomination to seek more research on, quote, diverse understandings of relationships. Well, encouraged by these developments, a pro-polyamory group of PCUSA activists calling themselves More Light Presbyterians even hosted a training class called Faithful Polyamory 101. Claudia Aguilar Rubalcava, the director of engagement for More Light, said this is the next big conversation mainline denominations will have. She added that the monogamy proposal targets queer communities and unjustly, quote, centers a single model of relationship as the only faithful expression of Christian life, ignoring both the breadth and biblical witness and the lived realities of many faithful people. We couldn't agree more, praise Gaia. So kudos to you, PCUSA, for embracing the newest letter of the holy acronym string so emphatically, P for polyamory. you get this week's Giant Lube of Justice. Loot of Justice Award for so emphatically embracing the full rainbow of fruit flavors and for reminding people that number of lovers is certainly a far more arbitrary relational boundary than gender. Even though we don't believe gender is real, we do still believe numbers are real, at least for now. But we certainly believe they shouldn't matter when it comes to love. So well done, PCUSA, and thank you for being part of the LGBTQ2SIA+P Alliance. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, we want to talk about a very serious subject, something close to our eternally bleeding hearts, the bullying of Elmo. Yes, tragically, the forces of darkness in this world have taken it upon themselves to harshly and undeservedly other, marginalize, oppress, and verbally assault our favorite little red Muppet Otherin. We say Otherin because, after all, even Elmo isn't entirely sure of their gender identity, making them a courteous or courageous hero of gender fluidity. So what did the little non-binary bundle of unconditional love do to bring this hatred upon their self? Well, they posted this 6-word tweet about the NBA Finals between the San Antonio Spurs and the New York Knicks.
Elmo hope both teams have fun,
followed by 4 basketball emojis. Now I know, at first this might not seem like anything controversial. After all, who could be upset by the sock puppet of happiness hoping that 2 competing teams will have a good time? Problem, of course, is that Elmo lives on Sesame Street, and Sesame Street is famously set in New York City, meaning that New York Knicks fans expected Elmo to be, like them, a devoted Knicks fan instead of some fence-sitting spectator who refused to root for his own hometown team. Long-suffering Knicks fans haven't seen an NBA title since 1973 and haven't even seen their team in the finals since 1999, a finals that saw the very same Spurs demolish them 4-1, the same team which has won 4 other titles since. As a result, the online ire for Elmo from his fellow New Yorkers was intense. The New York PD accused him of his account being hacked, tweeting, "Just like in Times Square, we think this Elmo is an imposter." Former New York Mayor Eric Adams simply tweeted a meme of bruh. The New York Department of Transportation threatened the honorary Sesame Street sign at 63rd and Broadway with a picture of its unveiling and the sinister caption, "Don't make us take this down, bro." Others called Elmo a coward for not picking a side, and one particularly obnoxious tweet even showed an obviously fake Elmo snorting a long line of white powder, cruelly mocking our substance-dependent other and just for a cheap laugh. Even someone who is usually the epitome of tact, diplomacy, and wisdom, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, said Elmo's tweet was Rocco behavior. For those who don't know, this reference cuts especially deep since Rocco is Elmo's friend Zoe's pet rock, whose ability to live, breathe, enjoy playdates, go to parties, and even consume the last oatmeal raisin cookie when Elmo had clearly wanted it has vexed Elmo for years. In a way, Rocco is the epitome of a trans-animate being, a rock who identifies as living, a puzzle which the imaginary pretend-alive Muppet has always struggled with, but I digress. Look, of course we would normally side with New Yorkers in anything, since they only elect the best people, and apart from San Francisco, Portland, and Boulder, Colorado, they are the strongest bastions of our religion. Nevertheless, the greater problem here is that true wokists like us never like nor really understand sports, for the simple fact that sports far too much like capitalism. There are winners and losers, in other words, inequality. Only one team can win each year while all the others lose. Triumph and failure are the essence of sport rather than the shared dull gray warmth of egalitarian mediocrity we prefer. We also don't like the ideas of hard work and productivity. We prefer to believe in a world where everyone just does their best all the time out of the decency and goodness of their hearts without selfish rewards. Despite our affection for certain socialistic elements of sport like salary caps and better draft picks for underperforming teams, we see sport in general, and basketball in particular, as far too capitalistic. So when Elmo tells everyone to just have fun and not worry about the results, they are really just being a good little wokeling, which we love. But after the bullying, a beleaguered Elmo issued a semi-apology tweet.
Nix that last message. Elmo didn't mean to spur you on.
Yes. It was sad Elmo felt the need to retract their endorsement of friendliness and fun, but the worst part has been the deafening silence from all of Elmo's supposedly devoted friends on Sesame Street. As a champion of kindness and solidarity, Elmo could have at least hoped that Big Bird, Cookie Monster, Oscar the Grouch, or even Grover might have come to their defense while being so flagrantly fouled on the Twitterverse. Even the Count only took time to show that he was numbering the days until the World Cup began, completely ignoring his suffering friend's pain. For shame, Team Sesame, for shame. You should have been more kind to your adorable little buddy. It's almost enough to make someone become a Brooklyn Nets fan. Almost. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
By the way, all of the stories, all the PCUSA were real quotes from real committees that actually exist within the denomination. I didn't make up any of that story at all.
Really?
None of it. John Pickens has traffic for you, John.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I know.
No accidents to report to you right now, nor delays. Everything looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
The only exaggeration was sesquicentamory.
That was good.
David Wayne has got a headline or two for us. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Iran's state media saying that Tehran has not yet agreed on a peace deal with the U.S., but they are saying there is a possibility that it could happen.
That's weird because Trump said they agreed.
Yeah, I know. I've never heard conflicting reports like this before. It's all brand new. I don't know.
Well, at least he called off the airstrikes and the stock market went up 900, you know. Woo! See what happens today. Is that it? That's enough. I understand. All right. Local news coming up after Fox. I'm Andrew McKay.
News. I'm Gianna Gelosi. President Trump says a deal with Iran is close, but the conflict continues with the U.S. military coming to the defense of ships in the region.
According to a senior U.S. official, it appears Iran has attempted to strike a commercial ships transiting the Strait of Hormuz tonight. U.S. forces shot down two Iranian one-way attack drones. Traffic flow through the strait continues, but the president did pull back from another round of airstrikes on Iran that were set to happen last night. He called them off after saying once again that a deal was at hand.
Fox's Douglas Ader. Elon Musk taking SpaceX public, marking a major day for Wall Street.
The IPO is expected to be priced at $135 per share and aims to raise $75 billion, valuing the company at $1.77 trillion.
America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31 at News Radio 92.3 Sunshine. We've got 75 degrees. We'll get a look at our forecast. That's up in just a few minutes. A senior market intelligence analyst with Pinnacle Financial Partners says Florida stands out from every other state in the nation as an economic growth engine. He says the numbers behind that claim are about as solid as they get. Cal Evans was in Pensacola this week presenting to commercial clients.
When I'm looking at Florida as an economic growth engine for the country, it really sticks out as a beacon for what can happen. You're number two in projected population growth from 2026 to 2031. You're number two in net in-migration in the country, and what that means is the number of people moving in as opposed to the number of people that are moving out.
And Evan says the state has also seen a shift in income demographics with more highly paid people moving into the state, and that shift has pushed the state's adjusted gross income, essentially available retail and investment spending, up $57 billion over the most recent 2 years of available data. He says Florida has also been the number one state in the country for new business creation, and that's not just recently, but going all the way back to the start of COVID. Well, Milton residents could see their garbage bill go up 3 years in a row under a proposal that city staff presented on Tuesday. The sanitation department says rates haven't kept pace with what it actually costs to run the service.
The key message here is that the city sanitation program continues to provide exceptional value, but the rates must be adjusted to ensure the long-term sustainability and avoid future large increases.
That's Milton's financial director, Laura McDill. The current residential rate is $2,376 per month. McDill's proposal would add 10% per year for three consecutive years starting in fiscal year 27, alongside the standard inflation adjustment, bringing that rate to about $2,705 in year one. Even after 3 years of increases, Milton would still come in below competitor Waste Pro. The council wasn't ready to vote on that at Tuesday's meeting, but did indicate general support for using the proposal, at least as a starting point for their July budget workshop. Now, Pensacola Police spokesman Mike Wood says people that think they're solving the hot car problem by just leaving the engine running and the air conditioning on are creating a different legal problem, an unattended running vehicle. is against the law in Florida.
The police department gets called and we get there and the dog or the animal is in distress, we're going to pop that window. But I want to make sure that the general public knows that they can do the same thing. If the dog is in distress.
And spokesman Mike Wood, wrong audio clip there, though. An unattended running vehicle, he says, is against the law in Florida.
Sometimes it's best to leave somebody in the vehicle with them, or maybe leave the animal at home. Everybody has different situations on why they bring them, but we just want to make sure everybody knows what the law is.
And Wood says if you do see an animal in a hot car and believe it's in distress, you can legally break that window without waiting for police, but he says you should stay on the scene and make contact with officers when they do arrive. Well, a former gubernatorial candidate is again asking for your vote. News Radio's Chris Bryan with this report. He says this time she's joining forces with a different political figure. Former Congresswoman Gwen Graham back on a statewide ticket, this time as David Jolly's running mate in Florida's Democratic gubernatorial primary. Jolly confirmed the pick Wednesday, and Tallahassee Democrats have not won the governor's office since Lawton Childs was reelected in 1994. Now, the Pensacola Beach Air Show back as of July with a lineup this year carrying a bit of extra meaning. The show July 15th through the 18th also marks the 80th anniversary of the Blue Angels, as well as America's 250th birthday celebration. Along with the Angels closing out Friday and Saturday's performances, the lineup this year also including a B-1B Lancer Bomber, F-35A Lightning II jets from the historic Red Tails of the 187th Fighter Wing, and a rare World War II F-4U Corsair, that as well as wing walking and the Red Bull aerobatics. It's 6:36. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Let's take a look at I-10, I-110. They all look good. Not seeing any delays anywhere, actually. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Another typical summertime day is on tap to round out the work week. Temperatures this morning starting out in the 70s under mostly clear skies. This afternoon will feature highs in the upper 80s and low 90s, mostly sunny skies, just a chance for an afternoon sea breeze shower. Going into tonight, very warm with lows in the upper 70s, maybe even some low 80s. But then the weekend continues to feature mostly dry weather with sunny and warm conditions. Meteorologist Marion Caldwell with your WAR First Warning Weather Forecast.
And it's 75 degrees. We've got mostly clear skies right now. Your next news in 30 minutes. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Meta has completed an operational split from Manus and suspended data sharing. CNBC reports that both sides have scrambled to comply with Beijing's April order to reverse the $2 billion deal. Beijing has tightened tech export controls on cross-border deals involving strategic assets. Oil prices have dropped this morning by more than 3% after President Trump said Washington had reached a framework agreement with Iran, raising hopes that tensions in the Middle East could soon ease. West Texas Intermediate at roughly $84 a barrel, Brent at $87. All eyes will be watching SpaceX today as it debuts on the NASDAQ. SpaceX, set to go public under the ticker symbol SPCX, has set a fixed price of $135 per share, which would put its valuation at nearly $1.8 trillion. The company plans to sell just over 555 million shares, amounting to a $75 billion fundraise, which would be the largest initial public offering in history. Futures are higher this morning. That's Your Money Now.
I know that hiring can be challenging. You sort through tons of resumes and you get too many so-so applicants. You're just waiting for someone to match your role perfectly. Well, now, there's a place where you can meet them fast. ZipRecruiter.
Need to hire right away. Start your search for strong candidates. The right fit awaits. Build your team. Build it sooner. Meet your match on ZipRecruiter.
Just head to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try it for free. And you're on your way to meeting your match. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So try it now. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Meet your match on ZipRecruiter.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Managing your ECUA service is easier. The new My ECUA mobile app puts everything you need right at your fingertips. From paying your bill, submitting service requests, and reporting issues like missed collections, damaged or lost bins, water main breaks, and sewer overflows, it's all right there in one easy-to-use app. Take control of your services anytime, anywhere. So download My ECUA. It's available in the App Store and Google Play.
Curbside recycling in the city of Pensacola is important to preserve the environment and keep the city clean. People may ask,
what can be recycled? When do the trucks come? How much does it cost?
Tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel Tuesday morning at 10:30 to hear John Scanlon and Nathan Doyle discuss the city of Pensacola recycling program on Pep Talk Tuesday at 10:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions.
Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News.
County Sheriff Chip Simmons is here in studio with me.
We get probably an accidental shooting probably once every 2 weeks, which is a lot.
How do you shoot two people cleaning your gun?
And if you're sitting next to each other, kind of showing people how cool your gun is.
Yeah, I guess some people in an actual gunfight miss 10 times and one guy's cleaning and he shoots two people.
That's in the movies. They certainly
miss them.
Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News. Listen weekdays 5 to 9 a.m. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
You know, I like old country, like classic country. This is George Strait, Blue Marlin Blues, talking about going out, throwing lines in, getting nothing, 7 hours later, drinking. You know, I mean, it's a great song about fishing, which is the reason I wanted to play it for Brian Johnson. He is the president of the Big Game Fishing Club, and he is the director of the 55th Annual International Billfish Tournament. He joins us now by phone. Brian, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Thank you for having us.
Hey, excellent, excellent. Great to have you. So we got the big tournament this weekend, and let's start with this. Just for people who, people like me, okay, who are not, deep sea fishermen, how big of a tournament is this? Give us some sense of the scale of this thing.
Absolutely, buddy. Well, it's the oldest tournament in the Gulf of Mexico, obviously 55 years. It's very big to our club, and it's a tradition. You hear us say fish the tradition. It's got a very, very rich history in the Gulf of America. So,
by the way, I like how you said both. I love how you said both. That's great. Go ahead.
Right. We've got 35 boats this year. We've had upwards of over 200 boats in the late 70s and early 80s.
Wow.
But there's so many tournaments now in the Gulf that stretch teams from all the parts of the Gulf. So we're very blessed to have what we have this year, just with the weather that was on us. It looked really bad last week for this weekend, but we've got a window and they're out there fishing.
So for the spectator that people might want to, bring a kid to see something like this, obviously these enormous fish out on a dock up on a scale is pretty amazing to see. When is weigh-in? If people want to see the boats returning ashore with their catches, when should they show up for that?
So we'll have a weigh-in this afternoon. I'll tell you, we probably will not have a lot of fish down there this afternoon. If we have a kill blue marlin, we'll push it out to every social media platform out there. We'll start this afternoon at 4 o'clock, 4 to 7 at the foot of Palafox in DeLuna Square downtown there. And then tomorrow will be our big day when all the teams will come back. And that will start at 3 o'clock. They have to be just south of Palafox Pier and Yacht Harbor there at 6 o'clock. So they have to be checked in at 6 o'clock. So all the activity late tomorrow afternoon, downtown Pensacola, go get you dinner, come down and watch these fish be weighed.
What's a prize winning fish going to be? And it's not just one category, right? There are several categories, right?
Yeah, and we're a little unique in the swordfish area. We have a $10,000 guaranteed for swordfish, but our blue marlin is our big category. It's going to be upwards of $20,000, depends on how they put their optional cash awards. Then we've got a $40,000 check sitting out there for the first one over 700 pounds.
Wow.
So we call that the big blue award. And so there's definitely some cash sitting out there. We've got we've 35 boats with a little over $250,000 sitting out there for them to go after.
$40,000 for the first 700 pounder. That's amazing. And
yes, sir.
those folks, if they catch one today, would be incentivized to come back to get that award, right?
Absolutely, yeah. You certainly don't want to lose any length. You don't want to lose any weight. So we have a 110-inch minimum on our blue marlin. We're about conservation, and we certainly want to protect what we love so much. So if they kill one, it's going to be a good fish.
I've got some follow-up questions. We're talking to Brian Johnson. He is the president of the Bingabe Fishing Club and the director of the 55th Annual International Billfish Tournament. Brian, hang on for just a second. Let's get traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. No accidents to report to you or delays. Looks like traffic is flowing smoothly this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Brian Johnson. So, Brian, you said lose weight or lose length. Pardon my ignorance, but so the fish shrink, get smaller and shorter if you wait too long to bring them back?
Yeah, they certainly can. It's just like anything, Andrew. You sit in this hot sun and this ball in the hot temperatures, that skin shrinks. So if you have a fish that's very close, you're going to keep that fish wet, keep him in a good edible quality so that you can get it back and get it weighed as quick as you can. We're about to, we don't want to kill these fish and not celebrate them. So we want to celebrate them. We team up with a group out of Ocean Springs that is a ministry, and they feed the homeless and less fortunate. So they'll come over and harvest the meat and celebrate that fish, and then that meat will go and feed the less fortunate in our community and our neighboring communities.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love to hear that. And you said it's conservation. Again, as certainly a non-expert in these matters, I'm guessing that by taking the largest fish out, you're actually making space for the juveniles to grow, thrive, reproduce, and so forth?
Yeah, your younger fish are the big producers. These 110, 112, 118-inch fish and larger, they've had a chance to spawn and make the difference to the population. You go and harvest 109-incher, 106-incher, 100-incher, they haven't had that chance to produce. So the theory is that the larger fish have produced. We obviously don't want to harvest a bunch of them because that's part of the sport fishing community, but that's the theory on that, is that let's not kill a bunch, but if you have one 110-inch, that is a trophy, and we're going to celebrate that fish and take care of the less fortunate.
Will they, if they catch one that's smaller, will they return it? Is it catch and release?
They will. So we have catch and release division that's based on points. So absolutely, the video verification, you get the fish to the boat, release the fish. That's a very, very competitive, if not more competitive than the kill division, because that's, you have more opportunities of catch and release than you do of a kill.
That makes
so
sense.
The catch and release is absolutely very competitive.
And how long, my understanding is it's quite long, but how long, once you hook one, how long does it take to actually get it on the boat?
It all depends, Andrew, on the fish. This past weekend, there's a tournament in Biloxi, and one of our teams, the Florida Lee, they fought a 630-pound blue marlin and fought it for 9 hours.
Wow.
It was just a real aggressive fish that would not give up. And I'll tell you that we have seen fish a few years ago, it was 1,200 pounds, that took half that long. So it all depends on the fish. It really does. But typically you can whip a fish within a couple hours.
So
they just typically give up.
If you're battling a half ton fish, is that one person or is that team, or, and how big are these boats? I mean, yes. A 1,000-pound fish can pull a small boat easily, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it all depends. You know, we have boats in our tournament from 24 foot all the way up to 80 foot.
Okay.
And it's definitely one angler.
Okay.
We adhere to IGFA rules. And so one angler, once the angler touches the rod, no one else can touch the rod. Including the wireman, so it's between fish and angler at that point.
Wow!
So that angler is he's sitting there for the duration.
9, 7, 6, 8 hours. I mean, I can't even drive 6 hours without taking a break, and that's just holding the steering wheel. I mean, man.
I can tell you, we caught one 704 pounds, and our angler was in the chair for 6 hours, and it was brutal.
Oh, exhausting.
He definitely did it, but it was brutal.
That's wild. How far do they go? I mean, they must go, what, 50, 100 miles? How far out do they go?
Yeah, so we'll have teams this weekend that'll go 150, 200 miles.
Oh, wow.
And then we have teams that are fishing, we call it right out back. They're sitting right out here about 35, 40 miles off the coast of Pensacola. So we're very blessed in this community to have a fishery that you can do that.
I'm sorry, you were going to say, I thought you were blessed to have a fishery that you can do that, and then what?
Yeah, so we've got what are called FADs, fish attractive devices,
okay.
That are south of here, about 40 miles. You can get to the first one, and they produce a lot of fish. So we're very fortunate to have the fishery we have. Now, the ones that are going west are going to the oil rigs, and they hold bait, so therefore they hold the predator as well, which is the blue marlin.
Interesting. How what's the farthest team away that's coming to Pensacola for this, or that's already, and they're already out in the water this morning, right? They left early?
Yes, sir. We've got teams from, we've got one team from Texas. We've got teams, you know, there's a circuit that'll come across the coast. So
okay.
Biloxi was last weekend. So those teams are transitioning to Sandestin for a tournament next weekend. So we get to get right in the middle. Biloxi had some horrible weather and unfortunately fished Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, weighed in Tuesday night. We actually have teams that turn their boat around, wade fish at 6, 7 o'clock Tuesday night, and we're sitting on our fuel dock at Palafox Pier at noon on Wednesday morning, or 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock on Wednesday morning, just dedicated to the tradition of the Pensacola International Billfish Tournament.
Well, Brian, I love it. I'm so glad you reached out to me. I think it's a fascinating thing. And, you know, if people want to see it again, they can show up. Weigh in today is at 4 o'clock at Plaza de Luna, down in South Palafox at the pier. Tomorrow it starts at 3. Got to be actually there by 6 p.m. So if you want to bring a kid and, you know, get inspired or just see some amazing local stuff again from a tournament that's been going for 55 years. And, you know, they give a lot to the, you know, to charity, as you heard. But Brian, what a fascinating thing. I do think it's amazing. You know, my closest is just, you know, going out a couple of times and doing some deep sea fishing and, you know, catching a few, you know, and certainly not anything close to that size or that duration. I think it's amazing. Brian Johnson's Big Game Fishing Club president. He is also the director of the 55th Annual International Billfish Tournament. Anything last that I forgot to ask you about that you want to let people know about?
Yeah, actually, Andrew, if they want more information, they can go to www.pbgfc, that's for Pensacola Big Game Fishing Club.com. They can learn more about us. They can learn about our Center for Conservation and Research. It's up for rental for the community, but we actually out on Gulf Beach Highway. It's a fabulous facility that we built for the research and conservation of the marlin and in our community.
Outstanding. And I'm sorry I was leaving the Pensacola off the name of your fishing club. I apologize for that.
That was my mistake. That's our pride.
Absolutely. Well, have a great time, Brian. Thanks for keeping us informed
about this,
and
I appreciate it,
sir. Absolutely.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
6:53 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the summer and fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. David's Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit David's Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
So Ryan and I came to the decision to get life insurance when I was pregnant with our first son. He really wanted us to be taken care of if something happened to him. He provided for our family in life and also after his death. I think that would make him proud. Ethos makes it fast and easy to get life insurance. Apply in minutes and get same day coverage.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/save. That's ethos.com/save. Paid testimonial. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Summer season is here, and Florida summers can really be hot. But despite the warm temperatures, your garden can still produce some beautiful flowers and delicious vegetables. Get all of your garden tips from me, Mike Wiggins, on The Garden Line, heard on the Pensacola Expert Panel every Tuesday from 9 till 10, and Encore Hour Saturday from 9 till 10 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Garden Line is presented by Blue Sky Landscaping and Pensacola Hardware.
Pensacola's hurricane coverage headquarters is News Radio 92.3. With wall-to-wall coverage before, during, and after storms.
Do you like apples?
Yeah.
Well, I got a number. How do you like them apples?
Good morning, 6:55, News Radio 92.3. A great day to go fishing. I'm Andrew McCabe. Oh, also, let's see, it's freshwater fishing 3 days this weekend, I believe. Today and tomorrow, tomorrow and Sunday. Ooh. I have to ask my news guy in just a second. Let's see. John Pinkins has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents report to you or delays. Looks like traffic is flowing smoothly everywhere. I'm John Pinkins with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. If you are working on a home improvement project or you need to pick up some gear or you build things for a living or anywhere in between, Pensacola Hardware is your place. They have all of it. I mean, they have all of it. They will not have to order something. I mean, if it's like a specialized product that was created for you by the engineer or the architect, okay, yeah, and they do that, by the way, all the time. No problem. But if you need it and it's a regular thing, they'll have it in stock. They are your commercial construction supply business. The warehouse is here. They're not afraid of those special orders, but they are, you know, everything you need. They have it. They've been doing this for 175 years. It is crazy. Whenever I think about it, it is crazy. They have been doing this since before there was a Levi's. You've had Pensacola Hardware, one of the 50 oldest businesses in the country, the oldest business in the entire state of Florida, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street. Go there just to see it for yourself, if for no other reason. All right, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David, just a quick fact check. The freshwater free fishing, is that today and tomorrow or tomorrow and Sunday?
I believe. Let me double check.
All right, I'll look it up while you're talking about the other stories. Go ahead.
Well, the U.S. Park Police are investigating after the numbers 8647 appeared etched in grass near the Washington Monument on Thursday. The Trump administration had argued in the past that the term 8647 could constitute a threat against President Trump. SpaceX is launching the largest IPO ever today in a move that stands to make CEO Elon Musk a trillionaire. The rocket company planning to sell more than 555 million shares of the company at $135 a piece. And Taylor Swift is now inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame. A ceremony saw her introduced by Steven Spielberg last night. At 36, Swift is now the youngest woman to receive that honor.
Okay, I thought Chris had done a thing on how it was this weekend, but now I'm looking on the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission site, and it says the... that's right. Okay, so I just misread it. Second consecutive Saturday and Sunday in June, so it is tomorrow and Sunday.
All right,
there you free go. Second fishing. Consecutive. And that is, license-free freshwater, and that's it. So second consecutive Saturday and Sunday in June, so that would be tomorrow and Sunday. You can go out and do your freshwater fishing without a license in the state of Florida. So that's good. All right, 6:58. And, John, you were telling me that you have been going down to the tournament for the Billfish tournament, like, since the 90s?
Since earlier than that. Like, as long as I can remember, I've been going down there. I always have a shirt. I get a shirt every year.
Oh, that's
and
great.
It's just, it's been such a Pensacola tradition, you know?
And I checked with Brian. He said they'll have the shirts down here by around 10 or so.
Okay, cool.
All right.
Awesome.
Cool. If you want to go pick one up, I just think it's great. I love learning about things that are not necessarily in my wheelhouse, but I want to understand them, especially because they're, you know, big local traditions, and, you know, that certainly qualifies as one of them. 437-1620, 437-1620. Just a quick note, you know, every year the Florida Tax Watch comes out with their budget turkeys, and it's important to understand about the three things that are on that list. There's a UWF project, a PSC project, and I forget the other one. That doesn't mean they're bad projects, okay? What it means is they got into the appropriation list somehow or other without going through the sort of standard process that Florida Tax Watch wants things to go through. So they could be perfectly fine projects. The Panhandle Heritage Village for $225,000 and the PSC and UWF. It doesn't mean they're bad, just they didn't go through the process.